you very much. I see empty chairs and new faces. You are all welcome. Those who have just joined us. We are now on presentation 17, Rights of Education, Children with Disabilities, National Campaign to Promote the Rights of Education of Children with Disabilities. I'm told the presenter has changed. It is no longer Mr. Lorenzo Wakefield, but it is Ms. Robin Butts. Is she ready? Are you ready? Okay. We have 10 minutes. I'll start counting now. Once you start talking, I'll be counting.
Thank you, Honourable Chair.
Thank you.
Apologies, this is on a timer, so I suppose it'll help me to speed up. I'm speaking on behalf of the Right to Education for Children with Disabilities campaign, which is a national campaign comprised a number of civil society organisations to promote the right of education for children with disabilities. This submission in particular refers to Article 24 of the Convention, and we are looking at the progress made in terms of implementing Article 24, as well as the challenges to implementation and recommendations of methods to facilitate it. First of all, in terms of progress made, there has been some progress in terms of implementing Article 24. White Paper 6 is the policy document on inclusive education. It has been in existence since 2001, but a number of the provisions of White Paper 6 comply with the Convention. One important note to make is that whilst White Paper 6 makes provision for the increased capacity of the general education system to accommodate wider diversity, it doesn't in fact support the goal of full inclusion, as is stated in Article 24. But in terms of progress made, we have seen the establishment of full-service schools or model inclusive schools across the country. There has also been an increase in the number of learners with disabilities included in ordinary public schools. The CIAS strategy, or Screening, Identification, Assessment and Support strategy, was implemented in 2008. It is a strategy to coordinate and guide the provision of support for learners with special needs. And although it was in response to the Western Cape Forum for Intellectual Disability court case, the Department of Education has now responded to the educational needs of children with severe intellectual disabilities in special care centres, or are beginning to respond to that need. And there are also examples of good inclusive practices in effect in many schools across the country, and I think it's important that whilst we're going to look in more detail at the challenges, we don't also forget the many examples of good inclusive practice that do actually happen. So if we move on to the challenges to implementation, Article 24A speaks about the need to provide free and compulsory primary education for children with disabilities. As far as fees are concerned in South Africa, the South African Schools Act says that a child cannot be refused admission if the parents are unable to afford fees. And children are also, or families are exempt from paying school fees if the child is receiving a support grant. Whilst the quintile system doesn't apply to special schools as it does to ordinary public schools, there is subsidization of special schools across the country, but there's very wide provincial variance as far as the allocation of funds to special schools is concerned. So in terms of do we provide blanket free education, as the article states, no. And the secondary costs to education, I think, are of even more relevance for children with disabilities, especially the transport cost. People have alluded to that earlier as well, but there is no adequate provision of suitable, accessible transport for children to access public schools, and very limited access to special schools, only insofar as special schools are able to afford to provide it. So this cost is actually a very real associated cost with receiving an education in this country. And then additional costs, uniforms, textbooks, stationery, etc., really do fly in the face of providing a free education. If we move on then to compulsory school attendance, whilst schooling is compulsory for children between the ages of 7 and 15, again, the South African School, the Act provides for the minister to stipulate compulsory ages for children with special needs. That provision has, well, that age has never been set, but also more importantly, that term there of special needs has never really been unpacked or dealt with. And then the article also speaks about children attending all levels of education, but the most recent household survey shows that only 4 to 5% of children with disabilities are in fact attending early childhood development facilities. And the out-of-school number of children, White Paper 6 in 2001, estimated 280,000 children with disabilities out of school. Recent statistics show that this has escalated to approximately 467,000, and that is largely unacceptable. There is also, whilst we are achieving some measure of movement towards universal access of schooling, those children that remain out of school, so whilst we might be achieving 95% universal access, the 5% that are out of school are disproportionately made up of children with disabilities. So they are by far more largely affected in terms of accessing education. The provision of Articles 24(2), B, C, D, and E speak to quality education on an equal basis with others in the community in which they live, accessing support and reasonable accommodations. Again, this concept of quality education has yet to be adequately defined. And the CR strategy, which I mentioned above, has been under revision for the past 2 years. Initially, the strategy was very administratively intensive, and the department has been reviewing it for 2 years. The fact that it hasn't yet been finalized is unacceptable, because this is the only strategy in place in ordinary public schools to manage the support and assessment of learners with any learning needs. Very few schools implement reasonable accommodations for learners with disabilities, and so no learning occurs on an equal basis with peers. The provision in Article 24(3), which relates to Braille and modes of augmentative and alternative communication and the facilitation of teaching sign language, in terms of that provision, very few teaching and learning materials are actually readily available in Braille. And there is minimal availability of AAC resources, virtually non-existent in ordinary public schools and minimal in special schools. Sign language has yet to be recognized as an official language of instruction, and teachers teaching deaf children remain untrained in sign language. And the very real consequence of that is that deaf children can exit the system functionally illiterate. Article 24(4). Speaks about qualified, trained teachers equipped with the skills and language necessary to teach learners with disabilities. There is no effective in-service skills development system in place to ensure that teachers can access skills training. The South African Council of Educators was tasked with implementing a CPD system, continuous professional development system, for in-service training of teachers. This is yet to happen. And there is no core training on inclusive education in pre-service training. Only 2 of the universities offer inclusive education training in a Bachelor of Education degree. The rest only offer it in postgraduate level. Specialized training in Braille, sign language, or AAC is not a requirement for teachers teaching children with disabilities, and that's unacceptable. In terms of recommendations, the implementation of White Paper 6 needs to be prioritized. White Paper 6 and inclusive education in general is sidelined by the Department of Basic Education. It is not seen as integral to or essential or cross-cutting the entire department. The strategic and action plans of the Department of Basic Education need to have well thought through goals which will achieve this implementation. Inclusive education was very underreported in the previous strategic action plans, and this needs to be addressed. And proactive oversight measures must ensure compliance. There are structures, processes, and strategies that have been conceptualized at a national level. These need to be implemented at provincial and district level. And teacher training must be seen as a critical necessity. Thank you.
I was about to stop you. Thank you.
Perfect timing.
Thank you very much. Before we allow our second presenter, can you just check, are there people from departments here? Department? Which department? Oh, okay. All right. Thank you. Okay, thank you so much. I thought we just continue without the department being part of it. I'm happy that department are here. Okay. Over to you.
I'm speaking on behalf of the ECD subgroup of the National Campaign for the Right to Education of Children with Disabilities, which has just presented. And our subgroup is basically considered the CRPD through the lens of early childhood development for children with disabilities. And we considered progress made in implementation, challenges to implementation, and recommendations of mechanisms to aid implementation. Article 7 of the CRPD provides that children with disabilities enjoy all human rights and fundamental freedoms on an equal basis with other children. And we appreciate the effort that has been made by different departments implementing ECD for young children with disabilities. We will be highlighting two achievements in particular. If we look at Article 24 of the CRPD, we see that it provides for the right of children with disabilities to education without discrimination and on the equal the basis of equal opportunity through an inclusive education system at all levels. We understand this to include early learning for young children with disabilities. And then if we look at Article 23.3 of the CRPD, we see that it provides that children with disabilities have equal rights with respect to family life, and that in order to realize these rights and prevent concealment, abandonment, neglect, and segregation, early and comprehensive information services and support are to be provided to children with disabilities and their families. So one of the achievements that we'd like to highlight is that there is legislation in place indicating that disabled children are to be prioritized in service provision in ECD. And here we refer to the Children's Act, which gives effect to the provisions of Article 24 and Article 23.3 of the CRPD. And this is done in the following clauses. Clause 11, which relates generally to children with disabilities. And then in the chapter on ECD, section 93.4a, and as well as in the prevention and early intervention chapter, section 144.1c. Okay. We see in the ECD chapter, section 93, that funding should be prioritized in communities where families are poor, and in order to make ECD accessible for children with disabilities. And then in the prevention and early intervention chapter, section 144, we see prevention and early intervention programs must focus on developing appropriate parenting skills and the capacity of parents and caregivers to safeguard the well-being and best interests of children with disabilities. Then moving on to highlight the second achievement, this relates to Article 25B of the CRPD, which states that states have responsibility to provide those health services needed by persons with disabilities specifically because of their disabilities, including early identification and intervention as appropriate and services designed to minimize and prevent further disabilities. And here we welcome the improved format of the new Road to Health booklet, being rolled out by the Department of Health. This section, which monitors the achievement of developmental milestones of young children, we feel allows for the possibility of early identification of developmental delays and disability, as well as for referral for early intervention. Now moving on to the challenges to implementation. the first big challenge is mechanisms for early identification and intervention for children with developmental delays and disabilities are inadequate. Many children with disabilities are not identified early and not referred for the early intervention that they need, and this results in children's long-term outcomes being compromised. And just as examples here, I'd just like to mention, for instance, parents are sometimes given false assurances by doctors and nurses that their, you know, their child's growth is fine and there are no problems. Sometimes concerned parents are referred from pillar to post within the health system. And we're also aware of instances where the Road to Health booklet developmental milestones isn't being completed or it's inadequately completed, and therefore developmental delays or disabilities aren't being identified early. So sometimes if a child is being identified, the referral mechanisms are a bit hazy, and children are therefore falling through the cracks. And when referrals are being made to more specialized services, we see the barriers of finances and parents not being able to get their children to appointments, transport barriers, and as well as parents not having a clear understanding or a lack of information about services that are being provided. And then the lack of accessible and affordable rehabilitation services for children is also a big concern. And the fact that there's no comprehensive information systems in place to track children with disabilities identified and those who are referred and receive therapy. If we look at the national, as an example of this, the National Data Information System of the Department of Health, we see that the number of assistive devices allocated is evident there, but this is not disaggregated for children with disabilities. So it doesn't give a clear or accurate picture of accessibility of health services for children with disabilities. And then moving on to the second challenge to implementation, the lack of integrated strategies for quality early learning opportunities for children with disabilities. We see in disability-related policies that the need for ECD for children with disabilities is acknowledged. This, however, is not reflected in clearly articulated and funded strategies in mainstream ECD policies. So we see that training of ECD practitioners to deal with children with disabilities is not present clearly in ECD policies, and that funding norms aren't responsive. There aren't funding norms responsive to different levels of support required by different children with disabilities. And here, what we would really want is that where children requiring high levels of support, there are funding norms that enable there to be a lower child to ECD practitioner ratio. Thirdly, the provision of suitable equipment and toys and playgrounds that are appropriate for children with a range of disabilities. And lastly, support for parents of children with disabilities. So those are the aspects that we really feel need to be clearly articulated and funded in policy. Then moving on to our recommendations. Firstly, we recommend that there's a prioritization of early learning for children with disabilities as part of the right to education. We firmly believe that that ECD is part of the right to education, and that in international research we see this backed up in that quality ECD improves the enrollment and retention rates at school, and early identification and intervention improves outcomes for children with disabilities. So we call on government to put in place mechanisms to ensure the targeting and inclusion of children with disabilities in quality ECD services. This requires monitoring of outcomes for children with disabilities. And our second recommendation is that there should be a strengthening of habilitation and rehabilitation services for young children with disabilities. We see in Article 26.1 of the CRBD that this places an obligation on the state to organize, strengthen, and extend comprehensive rehabilitation, in such a way that these services and programs begin at the earliest possible stage and are available as close as possible to their own communities, including rural areas. And we would just like to refer to the fact that in many countries in the developing world, community-based rehabilitation has been an effective means of improving access to rehabilitation services for children with disabilities. And we therefore welcome the reference made to CBR in the re-engineering of primary health care, and we call on the Department of Health to allocate both financial and human resources to ensure that children with disabilities get the necessary intervention at the earliest possible stage. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you so much. Ms. Nolwandle? Is she here? 1 November workshop for disabled. Oh, never happened. No, that's all about the translation, interpreter, person.
Okay, not too good. My name is Nolwandle from Gwalotema for Disabled Workshop. I'm coming from Khayelitsha. That organization established 1989, and then registered 2003. I started Pai Kwanotema as a volunteer. I'm also a disabled person. To break in.
Can you start again, please?
Disuka Kwanotema for the disabled workshop.
I'm from Notema Disabled Workshop.
Disuka from Khayelitsha.
I'm from Khayelitsha.
Sisebenza ngabantu abadisabled.
We work with disabled people.
As much as I'm disabled.
I'm also disabled.
Sisebenza ngomsebenzi wezandla.
We are working with people who on art.
It's woodwork and paper making.
Woodwork and paper making.
And hanger recycle. And paper recycle.
And paper recycle.
And the bakery.
And bakery.
Sithatha abantu abaqalela ku 18 up to 60.
We take people from 18 up to 60?
Yes. See, I vision yethu ku teach abantu abadisabled. Skills zabo.
Our vision is to teach the disabled so that they don't rely on grants.
And then also abantu abadisabled bakwazi ukuzimela, bazivulele zabo business.
So that they can also be sustained and have their own businesses.
Kodwa sine challenges nayo.
But we've got a challenge as well.
Abantu abadisabled abaqalela ku 18 up to 60.
Disabled people from 18 up to 60.
Abakwazi ukuyamkela into abaze are disabled.
They don't want to accept the fact that they are disabled.
And banelungelo lokuba bakwazi ukusebenza without a grant.
And they also have a right to work on their own without depending on the grants.
And the problem is that kuyo yonke ke loo nto ukuthatha abantu abadala abadisabled nokubenzisa izikills imali engekhoyo. Only imali esifumana isuka from social service.
The other challenge that we've got is to have funds so that we can train the, especially the old people, so that they can sustain themselves.
Siyazenza ke izinto, I woodwork, sithengise ku community.
We do this woodwork and sell whatever that we do to the community.
Kwane sewing siyazenza.
We also do sewing.
The main problem that we've got is that we don't have the machines that we can use.
Mm. And then also if a car passenzayo says the song is standard spread as from as song as a shop. Exactly.
We also make standard bread. That's one of the things that we do in the workshop.
And also, umuntu or disabled, akakwazi ukumelana nezo nelo misebenzi, because kufuneka siphinde sithathe umuntu ongekho disabled abe ibalance yomuntu or disabled.
And the people who are disabled are unable to do the work that we do at the workshop, so we end up having the people who are not disabled to do the work that is supposed to be done by the disabled people.
Besicela into ba ingaba ukhona ugovernment nayo a intervene kulento angenelele kuba ugovernment akangeneleli, only social service yedwa ezinye stakeholders ka government azikwazi ukungenelela.
We also want the government to intervene, because the only department that is assisting us is the Department of Social Development. We also want other departments to have an input.
Injongo yethu ngabantu abadisabled sifuna bakwazi uzivulela imisebenzi.
Our aim with the people, with the disabled people, is for them to be able to have their own businesses.
Njengoba besenchilo ba ivision yethu ku train abantu abadisabled so that bazivulele imisebenzi.
As I've mentioned before, our aim is to train the disabled so that they can have their own businesses.
Imission yethu kuba I disabled ziqhelane nabantu abaable. Ukwenzela bazoba ne networking according imisebenzi yabo abayenzayo nokuba bayenze ngendlela ephucukileyo.
Our mission is for the disabled people to be able to network with those who are not who are disabled, I mean who are able to do things, so that they can be able to work hand in hand in so that they can be able to achieve whatever they want to do.
Enye ingxaki esinayo kwindawo esisebenzela kuyo ko e-section. Indawo esecaleni.
The other challenge that we've got is that the place that we are working in at E-section is that it's not people are unable to reach that place. It's not accessible.
And then udayela right sinengxaki ngayo because akakwazi ubathatha abantu.
We also have a problem with the dial right because of the time the dial right they are unable to pick up our people.
And also enye ingxaki esinayo into yoba abantu nje babe sihlala ekhayelisha sithatha umntu wonke ohlala naseguguletsho nakwalanga nakwezinye indawo apha e-Western Cape.
The other challenge that we've got is that because we're the only one in Khayelisha, then we have to also transport people from Guguletsho and other areas in the Western Cape.
Kulapho ke sithi maka intervene ugovernment nezinye stakeholders zakhe ukwenzela azosibona singabantu abanjani abadinga ne-transport.
That's why we want government to intervene so that and other stakeholders so that they can see the problems and the challenges that we are faced with.
Ngokufutshane ke sipha kwaNothemba workshop.
In short, we are placed in kwaNothemba workshop for the disabled.
In Khayelitsha. Our email address is kwanothembaworkshop@gmail.com.
There is the email addresses. It is
and telephone number is 021-361-1560.
And the telephone number is shredded.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Enko Sipsis Nolwandle.
Nolwandle.
Okay, thank you very much. In terms of the program, Kwathemba Workshop for Disabled was the last presentation for the day. We'll now move to the questions and comments session, and this is only limited to members. Are there questions and or comments that members would like to make? Any reflections? Oh, welcome, Chair.
like we have come to the end of our program for today. Let me start by again expressing our gratitude towards the presentation for the day. A lot has been said in this presentation, but I want to say that it is clear that yes, whilst we do have legislation, but there is no implementation that is taking place. And without actually repeating what has been highlighted here, but we all know that persons with disability has been regarded as being half, you know, half persons, not full persons. And we are saying that from our deliberation, tomorrow when we wrap up, we will be able to come up with a way forward. From today's comments, recommendations, and solutions, we will be able to come up with mechanisms that will assist us. Especially when we talk of basic things like, you know, just transport, accessibility. As one of our, you know, colleagues have highlighted that, you know, these are our daily deliberations. But after being empowered by yourselves, we will then know which route, you know, to take to ensure that, you know, these international treaties are being complied. I must also hasten to say that, you know, in terms of special schools, that is of high concern, you know, special schools, because if I may share with you, last year the committee took an oversight to KwaZulu-Natal and Eastern Cape, and we were shocked, you know, really to experience how our children were suffering in terms of you know, accessibility, you know, to these special schools. We don't have a lot of them, but even those that we have, they leave much to be desired. We also met with women who were also taking care of their, you know, disabled children. That also left much to be desired. It tells us, you know, how much our government still needs to do. And the other one I think is of most importance is this, you know, access to, you know, financial institutions for persons with disability. I think that area as well needs to be looked into. But as I said to you earlier this morning, that after the public hearing, we will compile all this information. But before we compile our report, we will have to engage with various departments so that we can get answers, so that they can be able to respond and also share with us what the challenges are. And we will, from there, then come up with a report that will be taken to the House for adoption. After that, I think it will be in the public domain. Thank you very much. I know that it has been a long day. We hope to see some of you again tomorrow as we continue with this public hearing. Anything to... Oh, I'm told that the venue for tomorrow is V454. It's just the other side, instead of this side. Thank you very much, and our meeting is adjourned. If you still wish to wait for some tea, there is tea that is coming. Thank you.
That's what I actually wanted to tell you.
Take down some